Sweet time of prayer. Thank you. I ask you to turn to Romans 15. Romans 15. I was reading in Romans last week in my devotional time, and in preparing to come to remember the Lord Sunday morning, I was meditating on the first few verses of Romans 15, in addition to some other verses, and I was thinking about the thoughts that are brought out there that I thought were appropriate for the Lord's Supper. And as we were remembering the Lord, a brother Luther shared some thoughts from Galatians chapter 1. And the verse that he read there struck me particularly in relation to what I was thinking about. It didn't seem that the Lord was leading me to share that morning, and but it did kind of lead to this message tonight, so and maybe for a couple of Wednesday nights. But I did just want to mention that brought to my mind as I thought about the Lord's Supper. I remember our brother Charles Crawford years ago challenging the brothers in the meeting, and he would say we should always come to the Lord's Supper prepared to share, but never determined to share. Always remember that. He said we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord, but we should be prepared. We should be ready. And I would share that challenge, and even for the ladies, not that you would be sharing audibly, but of course the Lord is not limited to hear the thoughts and the worship, even from the Scripture, only of the ones who stand and say it out loud. He sees our hearts. That's actually in one of the verses we may get to tonight. He sees our hearts. So as we all come to the Lord's Supper prepared, one way we can be prepared is to have a passage or a verse or a part of a verse that we've been meditating on and bring that, to offer that to the Lord even if no one else ever hears it. Anyway, back to our main point is the question. Oh, man. You know what I didn't bring? I didn't bring my clicker. All right. So you'll have to click for me. All right. Just remember that. Yeah, I can try that. I don't like that. Here's my question. Who are you trying to please? And don't tell me you're not trying to please anybody, because I know you are. Everybody is. Who are you trying to please? Let's just start out reading the first three verses of Romans 15. We get started this evening. Paul writes, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Paul has been speaking in chapter 14 about liberty that we have in Christ, the things that we are free to do as believers, but that some other believers may struggle with because of their weakness, maybe their own past experience or things that they have heard, perspectives they have, and how we should respond to that. And he said if we're strong, then we ought to bear with the scruples or the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor. And you don't need to turn there because we'll get there later, but here's the verse that Luther read in Galatians 1 and verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Now, the human author of these two passages was the same. More importantly, the divine author of these two passages was the same. And what struck me as I meditated on Christ not pleasing himself, seeing there that Paul said we should please our neighbors. And then in Galatians, he says, don't please men. Don't please men. So I begin to think about that. And so The first question I'll ask is this: should you please yourself? There's a resounding answer, no. And that's based on Scripture. I don't see a command necessarily not to please yourself, but I don't see any examples where we see that we're trying to please ourselves. Now, it's interesting, and unfortunately, we probably, because I prepared a 40-minute message to do in 15 minutes, so we probably won't get through the whole thing. We won't get down to some thoughts about that we actually can find ourselves pleased. But it's not by trying to please ourselves. Who are you trying to please? Are you trying to please yourself? In Romans 15, in verse 1, we read there at the end of the verse, not to please ourselves. Even when we have the freedom to do something, our motivation is not to please ourselves. The determining factor in whether I do or don't do a particular thing that I feel I have complete liberty before God to do, it's not about pleasing me. The choice comes down, as Paul says, to pleasing others. Not me. And then in verse 3, we read that supreme example of the Lord Jesus Christ. For even as Christ did not please Himself, He had every right to please Himself. He could have pleased Himself, but instead of pleasing Himself, He fulfilled David's prophecy from the Psalms that the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. I put myself in the way of the reproaches. Should you please yourself? No. Well, should you seek to please people? If the question is rather than yourself, then the answer is yes. Yes. Should you please people? If the choice is between pleasing yourself and pleasing others, then you should seek to please them. Here in Romans 15, in verse 2, we see one reason that we should seek to please people, and that is for their good, to edify them. We read that in verse 2. Let each of us as believers, let each of us please his neighbor. Please his neighbor. Bring satisfaction, bring pleasure, bring delight to our neighbor for his or her good, leading to edification. Here's the bottom line of that seeking to please our neighbor, and that could speak particularly, I think, in the context here of believers, but it could go beyond that. But as we think about fellow believers, our heart should be that we want to seek not to please me, not to do what's going to make me feel pleasure, but rather what I can do for that person that will be good, that will be beneficial, with the goal not just of making them feel good, but of actually edifying them, building them up spiritually. How can I please you in a way that will build you up? You might say, stop preaching on time, and that would please me. But would that build you up? Yes, it would. You're right. It would. You're right. Amen. I'm watching that clock. All right. So we see that we should please people if the choice is between pleasing them and pleasing self. And particularly if it's a believer, my goal should be to please that person, to do what benefits that person for their edification. For their edification. Okay, and then there's another verse that we're going to put up here, and that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 32, you're welcome to turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. The verse is here before you. But I do want to read the verse that precedes that in 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many
that they may be saved. Paul said, yes, don't please men. But when it comes to choosing between pleasing me and them, then I'm going to try to please them in all things as best I can. Now, obviously, I have the Scripture that's going to guide me, the Holy Spirit, and He's not saying go out and do anything that possibly could be done that you think might somehow result in their salvation. We need to be careful. We need to be guided by the Spirit, by the Word of God. But many times it comes down to pleasing ourselves or pleasing others. And I wish that I and more of us were struggling with some of the things that Paul was struggling with, that he was going to have to give up in order to do that. But often the things that we're struggling with are much more minor than anything Paul ever looked at. The pleasure that we often seek for ourselves, is it to the glory of God? Whatever we're doing. Paul says, I'm going to try to please everyone. He's talking here, I think, particularly the unsaved, in everything, not seeking my own profit, not to please me, not even to benefit me, but rather I want to see the profit of many, why that they may be saved. What can I do to benefit that unbeliever that works beside me, that lives beside me, that walks beside me, that I happen to find beside me in a particular situation? What can I do that I could say would bring delight to them, but would open a door for me to get the gospel to them? What's in the way? You know, a smile doesn't cost you a whole lot, they say. Some people it costs more than others, I can tell. A smile doesn't cost anything, but man, how many people smiled at you today? If you could stop, how many people smiled, how many people didn't smile? But there was a whole lot more people that didn't smile at you today that you passed. But you probably noticed the people that smiled at you. Even in the South, the good old Southern hospitality South, it's not as light, you're not as likely to get a smile as you used to. Maybe that's because all the... No, I'm not even going to say who... I'm not going to say who might have been moving here and changing that. That's terrible to even think that. That's an awful thing to say. Even think. I'm just kidding, you know. No. Things are changing. People are changing. Culture's changing. A smile. A kind word. A kind deed. To seek to please... It may cost me a little bit, but it may open a door where I'm able to share, give a track, speak a word for the Lord Jesus, give Him the glory, mention that I'm praying, offer to pray for them, ask if they have a prayer request. What can we do to seek to please people for their salvation, to evangelize them? So should you seek to please yourself? What's the answer to that? No. That was pretty weak. I know you didn't want to have to say it, but should you seek to please yourself? There you go. Amen. Amen. Christ didn't even please Himself. Okay, and then we thought, should you seek to please people? If the question is between pleasing myself and pleasing them, then I should seek to please them. Okay, one more question. I don't have time to answer it really, but should you seek to please people rather than God? No. You didn't even need me to put it up there, but go ahead anyway, since I typed it up, you know, it was two words and an exclamation point. No, and that's what the next time I'm able to speak on a Wednesday night. Was it the no, the inna? What did I say? Two words? Oh, yeah. That's not two words? No. No way. Thank you. It got deleted. Thank you, Tim. How did that get off of there? Did you delete that, Sarah? No way. That'd be better. And two exclamation points, maybe. Okay. All right. So when it comes, and there we see, as we will look at next time, Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So we'll look next time I speak on a Wednesday night at seeking to please God and how that can be possible and how we can do that and what God would have us to do. Thank you for your time tonight. May we seek to go out and not please ourselves, but seek to please others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a wonderful time tonight of sharing prayer requests and praying. Lord, my heart just wells up because these brothers and sisters want to be out here and they've sacrificed and they've come here and thank you, Lord, that they have edified me tonight by being here and I praise you for that. I pray that I might edify them, that we might edify one another and that we might please our neighbors for their good, for their edification, that we might please all people with the goal of their salvation. They might be saved by grace through faith plus nothing. So, Father, we just commit all these requests, all these needs, all our lives, all our opportunities, and we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, and we pray in His name. Amen. May the Lord encourage you.